I'd just like to point out that I'm not married to anyone in this church, but I still have lots of friends, so it's not a prerequisite. Well, sorry, yes, I am married to my wife, but that's true. I'm still married, yeah, don't worry. Fair point. Okay. Okay. Why did the chicken cross the road? I'm sure that you've got lots of answers to this question. And if you're going to stay for lunch, I'd like to hear lots of them. And in fact, I would like to hear the best of them on each table. And maybe we could have a little competition and vote for the best answer. If you were Albert Einstein, you might say, well, it wasn't the chicken that crossed the road, but it was the road that moved underneath the chicken. If you were Isaac Newton, you might say, well, once the chicken was in motion, it couldn't stop until an equal and opposite chicken met it on the other way. If you were Shakespearean, you might misquote Hamlet and say, well, that's not the question. But the chicken's journey is fairly simple. He just has to get from one side of the road to the other. Most of the journeys that we take are more complex than that. Ones that require navigation. In undertaking our journeys, we might use navigational aids, such as Google Maps or SatNav. They work very simply. You plug in where you've started from, where you're going, and Google Maps takes you on that journey. And if you want, you can choose an alternative route that avoids road closures, or you can choose a scenic route. The reason I'm wearing a t-shirt today, my family bought me this t-shirt which says, always take the scenic route. For some reason, they think that that's what I do. But so we're going to go on a bit of a journey today, and I've chosen the scenic route. Hopefully, by around 5 to 12, we'll get to some kind of destination. So let's come back for a moment to the passage. Jesus starts talking about going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll come back and get you. And anyway, you know where I'm going. Thomas, being the kind of guy he was, says, what? Wait a minute. Where are you going? How will we know the way? Thomas gets a bit of a bad press, I feel. He's called Doubting Thomas. But actually, he's just a reasonable question asker. He's got, you can see his point. He's given up the life that he'd previously had to follow a man who changed his life. And that man, it seemed to Thomas, was talking about leaving. He was spooked. The problem was that he didn't know where Jesus was heading, why he was going, or actually what he was talking about. So he asked the question, how will we know the way? Where are you going? He didn't want to lose the very person who'd given him direction. Now, navigation is very important. Scarlett and Katie are both doing Duke of Edinburgh expeditions, one this week and one in a couple of weeks. And last week, Scarlett was doing a practice. Sorry, Scarlett, for mentioning this. And I was a little bit worried that she might not have the navigational skills and she might end up walking far too far with a big pack on her back. So we spent about half an hour just making sure that how to read a compass and how to do it properly. Some days, navigation is easy. And this was a few weeks ago, heading up to Buccellative Moor. And you can see the path is very clear. The sky is reasonable. You can see exactly where you're going. About 20 years ago, I went up the same mountain in horrible conditions. I went up and I went down, and I didn't even realize there was a ridge there because it was so horrible. Around about the same time, I'd been up some mountains around Crean Larrick with Barry Gibson Smith and another chap called David. And this was more like, if you go back, you can't really see it actually. It looks like a white screen, but that's probably quite a good illustration, but there is a bloke there with some skis on. And it was, that's the kind of conditions that we were in on Creagh Ardrain. And it was November. The light was coming down. We'd already done a couple of hills, and the snow was quite deep. And so we took a bearing. We weren't very experienced. We had one map and one compass between us. I know that's not very good, Richard, sorry about that. But we took a bearing, and we knew that was the way down. So I had the compass, David had the map. But within 30 seconds of taking this bearing, we couldn't see David, and he just disappeared. And we had to decide what to do. The light was coming down. We knew we had about an hour of light. And so Barry started looking for David, making sure he could see me. And I said, I am not shifting from this place with my bearing because I know that's the way down. And David disappeared. And after about 20 minutes, we had to decide, well, we're going to have to go down. He's got a map. He knows the bearing that we took. And we never saw David again until we met him down at the bottom. And we had a bit of a laugh about it. So coming back to Thomas, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You do know where you're going, Thomas. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And this is a bit of an interpretation, but Jesus says, we're kind of, actually, sorry, could I go back one more? Yeah, so the navigation is a lot easier now, or I find it a lot easier because I have an app on my phone which has Ordnance Survey on it, and you can see a little arrow there which says your location. And as you move around, so you move to the right, it tracks you. And as you move, so you can see whether you're going off path or whether you're on the right path. There's a government health warning. Sometimes your battery runs out, and sometimes in the cold it doesn't work. But basically, it makes navigation a skoosh compared to just using a map and compass. What Jesus said to Thomas was, we're going to give you a kind of app that basically is our presence wherever we go, wherever you go, and it's the Holy Spirit. He will be able to track, he'll be able to track, so if you go off course, he'll guide you back. He says, I'm going to give you a counselor, an advocate. Don't let your hearts be troubled because I'm coming with you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you a new navigational system. And the counselor will teach you of all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. And he's internal. He's an internal app, if you like. Sorry, there was a wee picture there of, we went up Cruachan Drain just about a month ago and saw a lot more. So what is the way of Jesus? The way of Jesus was to love a sinful woman when others were ready to judge and only see flaws. He was someone who gave the seed of hope in someone who was hated, a tax collector, Zacchaeus. He was someone who encouraged us to turn the other cheek when we were attacked. Someone who told the story of the Good Samaritan who crossed the road to help another person. That's the way that he's talking about. Paul talks about the way, a still more excellent way, the way of love, which is described in 1 Corinthians 13. Love that endures, is patient and kind, never envies, doesn't boast, isn't proud, not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with truth, always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. That's the way that Jesus is calling us to. But how can we live to that kind of standard? John the Baptist came saying that he wanted to prepare the way to make straight paths for Jesus. But he wasn't himself the one. He said he baptized with water, but Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. He called on people to turn towards God. But turning is one thing, but we need the Holy Spirit to be able to actually do it. To be able to actually live that kind of life. He said, Jesus will give you him, the Holy Spirit. He will give you his own presence, the counselor, in order to be able to live it. So, coming back to our chicken, what is the other side? Well, Jesus said, I am the way. Where the Father is, I am where the Father is, I and the Father are one. So he says, the other side is really me. He's the destination, he's the other side, but he's also the way to it, he's the journey. Adrian spoke last week about being known by God, being safe in God's protection and being loved by God. That's where the Father is. That's where we want to be. That's the other side, if you like. I want to read some words by Henry Nouwen, which I found helpful, which Ruth told me about from a book that she reads in the morning. And it's called The Indwelling of God Here and Now. Eternal life. Where is it? When is it? For a long time now, I've thought about eternal life as a life after all my birthdays have run out. For most of my years, I've spoken about the eternal life as the afterlife, a life after death. But the older I become, the less interest in my afterlife holds for me. Worrying not only about tomorrow, next year, and the next decade, but even about the next life, seems a false preoccupation. Wondering how things will be for me after I die seems, for the most part, a distraction. When my clear goal is eternal life, that life must be reachable right now, where I am, because eternal life is life in and with God. And God is where I am here and now. The great mystery of the spiritual life, the life in God, is that we don't have to wait for it as something that will happen later. Jesus says, "Dwell in me as I dwell in you." It is this divine indwelling that is eternal life. It is the active presence of God at the center of my living, the movement of God's Spirit within me that gives us eternal life. So, this week when I couldn't sleep, I started watching a drama on television called The Control Room. It's exciting, it grips you. The journey that it takes you on is just as exciting as the destination. This one has, I don't know if any of you have watched it, but it has lots of places in Glasgow that you'll recognize too. You kind of want to know the ending, but you actually don't want it to finish because it's quite exciting. You don't want it to happen to finish too quickly. And I think this is the point Henry Nouwen is making, that eternal life is just as much about the journey as the ending. But of course, I'm over-spiritualizing this. The main reason you want to watch it is because it has Ian de Castacar in it, who's Linda's son. So I recommend it highly. So I asked earlier, why did the chicken cross the road? In preparation for the talk, for this talk, I started reading a book by Brian McLaren called Why Did Jesus, the Buddha, and Muhammad Cross the Road? And this is a really interesting book about how Christians can respond to those of other faiths and other philosophies. I haven't finished the book. I want to study it. I think it would be very fascinating. But Brian McLaren just talks about how Jesus how we're called as Christians to respond to those of other faiths, and gives us a challenge to be less exclusive, I think. When I was 14, I remember being in my bedroom and thinking, I want to examine all the faiths, the Buddhism, Islam, other philosophies, and I want to read all about them, and then finally, when I've made an exploration, I'll choose which way I want to live. But at the time, I remember hearing a voice coming into my head. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was just an unsolicited kind of impression of God saying, "Why don't you just ask me?" And I thought for a moment, and I thought, well, God is supposed to be all loving. He's supposed to be all powerful. So if I ask and I really mean it, I think he will answer. So I did. I said, "God, if you are there, then I want to know you." And I know this isn't everybody's experience, but something happened to me in that moment, and that has never left me. It felt like something deep had happened within me, something like a peace that passes understanding. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." It's certainly not that I ever have doubts, but I do think that that peace has never left me. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given. Seek, you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Dick challenged us the other week to taste the bread of life. You have to taste it in order to know the nourishment from it. Adrian challenged us to open the gate. And Graham challenged us to choose the path of life. I wonder if we could pray and just say, if you want to know, then that God would show you the way. I might pray now, if that's all right. Lord, thank you that you are the way. And we pray, Lord, if you are there and you want us to know you, then please show us the way and show us how to live and be with us as we try to live that way. Amen.